Welcome to the OCR GCSE Physical Education Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover everything you need to know about aggression in sport. That's topic 5.4 on your OCR J587 specification. Whether you're sitting foundation or higher tier, this is a topic that comes up regularly, and the good news is that once you understand the key distinctions, the marks are very much there for the taking. So let's get started. First, let me just set the scene. When examiners talk about aggression in sport, they're not just talking about someone losing their temper, they're asking you to apply precise psychological definitions to sporting contexts. The two main types you need to know are direct aggression and indirect aggression, and the difference between them is absolutely fundamental. Get this wrong and you could lose marks on even a two-mark question. So let's nail it right now. Direct aggression is defined as aggression that involves physical contact with the intent to harm another person. The key word there is intent. It's not an accidental collision, it's a deliberate act directed at another player. A classic example is a high tackle in rugby, where a player deliberately targets an opponent above the shoulder. Another example would be a boxer throwing a punch with the aim of hurting their opponent, although in boxing, of course, this is within the rules, which brings us to an important nuance we'll come back to. Indirect aggression, on the other hand, is aggression that is channeled at an object rather than a person. The force is still there, it's still aggressive behavior, but it's directed at something rather than someone. Think of a tennis player smashing a ball as hard as they possibly can, not just to win the point, but to intimidate their opponent. Or a goalkeeper launching a powerful kick downfield to relieve pressure. The aggression is real, but it's expressed through an object. So the absolute key difference, and this is worth writing down, is person versus object. Direct aggression targets a person. Indirect aggression targets an object. Now, here's where a lot of candidates go wrong, and I want to flag this as a major exam trap. Many students confuse aggression with assertiveness. These are not the same thing. And the OCR mark scheme is very clear on this. Assertiveness means playing with high energy, determination, and physicality, but within the rules of the sport. A rugby player making a strong, legal tackle is being assertive. A basketball player fighting hard for a rebound is being assertive. There is no intent to harm, and the behavior stays within the rules. Aggression, by contrast, involves either intent to harm or behavior that goes outside the rules. If a question asks you to define aggression, you must include the word intent. That's what separates it from assertiveness. Examiners will not award the mark if you describe assertive behavior as aggressive. Let me also address another common mistake. Some candidates write that indirect aggression involves no physical force. That's incorrect. Indirect aggression absolutely involves physical force. It's just that the force is applied to an object, not a person. Don't confuse indirect with gentle. A smashed tennis ball can travel at over 200 kilometers per hour. That's a lot of force. It's just directed at the ball, not the opponent. Right, now let's move on to the second half of our topic, strategies for managing aggression. This is where AO2 and AO3 marks really come into play because examiners want you to apply these strategies to specific sporting contexts and evaluate their effectiveness. There are three main strategies you need to know for OCR GCSE: deep breathing, mental rehearsal, also called imagery, and positive self-talk. Let's go through each one in detail. Deep breathing is a technique used to control what we call somatic anxiety. Somatic anxiety refers to the physical symptoms of stress and arousal, things like increased heart rate, muscle tension, sweating, and a feeling of physical agitation. When a performer is becoming aggressive, these somatic symptoms are often elevated. Deep breathing works by activating the parasympathetic nervous system, which counteracts the fight-or-flight response. Slow, controlled breathing lowers the heart rate, reduces muscle tension, and brings physiological arousal back down to an optimal level. In exam answers, you must link deep breathing to somatic anxiety and physiological arousal. Don't just say it calms you down. Examiners want the mechanism. Deep breathing is particularly effective in closed skill sports, sports where the environment is predictable and there are natural pauses in play. Archery is a perfect example. Between each shot, an archer has time to take slow, controlled breaths and reset their arousal level. Golf is another great example. A golfer can use deep breathing between shots to manage frustration after a bad hole. However, deep breathing is harder to use in dynamic, fast-paced sports like football or basketball, where there are few natural pauses and the pace of play doesn't allow for extended breathing exercises. This is an important evaluative point for six-mark questions. Mental rehearsal, or imagery, is a technique that targets cognitive anxiety, the mental symptoms of stress, such as negative thoughts, worry, self-doubt, and loss of concentration. In the context of aggression, a performer who is becoming frustrated might start having negative thoughts. I'm going to lose control, or that referee is ruining this game. Mental rehearsal involves the athlete closing their eyes, or simply focusing internally, and vividly imagining a calm, controlled, and successful performance. They might visualize themselves executing a skill perfectly, staying composed under pressure, or successfully managing a difficult situation. The key mechanism is that this mental image refocuses the mind away from the source of frustration and replaces negative cognitive patterns with positive ones. Mental rehearsal is widely used as part of pre-performance routines. A rugby player might visualize a successful conversion kick before stepping up to take it. A gymnast might mentally rehearse their entire floor routine before stepping onto the mat. In terms of managing aggression specifically, it helps the athlete mentally rehearse staying calm rather than reacting aggressively to provocation. Positive self-talk is the third strategy, and it's perhaps the most accessible because it can be used at any moment during performance. It involves the athlete replacing negative internal dialogue with positive, constructive statements. Instead of thinking, "I'm going to lose my temper," the athlete consciously says to themselves, either out loud or internally, something like, "I am in control," or "stay calm, execute the plan," or "focus on the next point." Positive self-talk works by interrupting the cycle of negative thinking that can escalate into aggressive behavior. It maintains focus, boosts confidence, and reduces the frustration that often triggers aggression. In exam answers, don't just say, "the athlete talks to themselves positively." Explain that they are replacing negative thoughts with positive statements, and that this maintains focus and reduces frustration. That's the level of detail that earns marks. Now let's talk exam technique. This is really important. For 1 and 2 mark questions, you need to be precise and use the correct terminology. If a question asks you to define direct aggression, your answer must include physical contact, intent to harm, and ideally a sporting example. If it asks you to define indirect aggression, you must mention force applied to an object and give a sporting example. 2 marks, 2 clear points. For 4 mark questions, you'll typically be asked to describe or explain a strategy. Use the structure. Name the strategy, explain the mechanism, link it to the type of anxiety it controls, and give a sporting example. That's 4 clear points for 4 marks. For 6 mark, extended response questions, these are the ones where you really need to shine. You should evaluate the suitability of a strategy for a specific sport. This means discussing both the strengths and the limitations. For example, if asked to evaluate deep breathing for a football player, you might say, "Deep breathing is effective because it lowers somatic arousal and reduces the physiological symptoms of aggression. However, in football, the fast pace of play and limited natural pauses make it difficult to implement during a match. It may be more effective as a pre-match technique rather than an in-game strategy." That kind of evaluative response with specific sporting context is what earns full marks at AO3. One more tip. Always state the type of aggression or the type of anxiety you're referring to before you explain the strategy. Examiners love to see that you understand the link between the problem, somatic or cognitive anxiety, and the solution, deep breathing or imagery. That's the AO2 application that separates a grade 5 answer from a grade 8. Now let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. Cover your notes and see how many of these you can answer. Question 1. What is the key difference between direct and indirect aggression? The answer? Direct aggression targets a person with intent to harm. Indirect aggression channels force at an object. Question 2. What type of anxiety does deep breathing target? The answer? Somatic anxiety, the physical symptoms of stress. Question 3. What is the mechanism of mental rehearsal? The answer? The athlete visualizes a calm, successful performance to refocus the mind and reduce cognitive anxiety. Question 4. Give 1 sporting example of indirect aggression. The answer. A tennis player smashing a ball hard to intimidate an opponent. Question 5. What word must you include when defining direct aggression to distinguish it from assertiveness? The answer. Intent. Question 6. What type of anxiety does positive self-talk primarily address? The answer. Cognitive anxiety, negative thoughts and self-doubt. How did you do? If you got all 6, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those definitions before your exam. Let me leave you with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Aggression in sport is divided into 2 types. Direct aggression, which involves physical contact with intent to harm a person, and indirect aggression, which channels force at an object. Remember, assertiveness is not aggression. Always use the word intent in your definitions.
The three management strategies are deep breathing, which controls somatic anxiety by lowering heart rate and physiological arousal, mental rehearsal or imagery, which controls cognitive anxiety by visualizing a calm, successful performance, and positive self-talk, which replaces negative thoughts with positive statements to maintain focus and reduce frustration. In the exam, always name the type of aggression or anxiety, explain the mechanism of the strategy, and link it to a specific sporting context. For 6-mark questions, evaluate the strategy's suitability, discuss both its strengths and its limitations in context. You've got this. Good luck in your exam and keep revising. This has been your OCR GCSE Physical Education Revision Podcast on Aggression in Sport, Topic 5.4. See you next time.